We're going to continue our service together, and we're going to open up God's Word together. We're going to open up Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and starting from verse 1. Galatians chapter 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he's obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who will be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? The persecution is not from him who calls you. A little lump leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and that the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offence of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you, brothers, were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. And if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. The grass withers, the flower fades, but thank God his word stands forever. Thank you again for the invitation to be with you tonight. It's always a privilege to come back home and to be with you as God's people. And I haven't brought any newsletters with me tonight, but if you'd like to have one, please come and see me at the end. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Paul Davis. I'm an evangelist with Counties UK, seeking to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to those who will listen and to help and to equip the local church. And so I do a lot of schools work in the local area, in Swansea and in Neath, and to help out different churches on missions and holiday clubs and things like that. We've just come back from Cornwall over half term. It's a hard life, I know, to lead a holiday club, and it was a wonderful opportunity to help a gospel hall there reach out into their community and to reach families. They had two families particularly come that week out of a group of about 20 or so who came. Two new families came from suddenly out of nowhere. Isn't God good? One came from directly behind the church because somebody called them the night before to say, "Are you coming?" And so they came along. One lady, she just so happened to find it online, so decided to come along. Isn't God good? By all means, that son would come. One family, do pray for them. She's from the Ukraine. She had a Catholic background. She was very keen for her children to know the Bible stories. I took a lot of former Beach Mission specials with me, our magazines, and took them down with me to help with the church that week. The mum came back the next day and said, "Oh, can I have that free book there?" Well, the mission's over, but I've told her I'd get her a book for the kids. She then came to me at the end of the second session. "Oh, what's that song you're singing? I want the kids to learn it in the car." Do pray for that family. Very keen, wanted to know more. And do pray that they've gone back to their kids' club over the next couple of weeks as well. And again, as was mentioned earlier, as part of the work, I'm now helping replant a church in Skewin called Hope Church. And we meet on a Sunday afternoon. And it's been a real privilege to be there and to see people come to know the Lord. People from really hard backgrounds come to know the Lord and be baptized and to serve in the local church as well. And it's been a real privilege to be part of that as well. And like yourselves, we had our ladies, we had a Christmas craft evening on Friday. We had about 30 people come along, and we had some of our mums from the toddler group come along as well, and it was lovely. Probably one of the first or second times some of them have been into the church apart from the toddler group. They all told their partners, "It's our night, we're going." They didn't have any choice in the matter, but they heard the gospel. And we pray that the Lord would do a great work through that. We even had one grandmother come who'd only been there the week before, but was there that night as well. And it all started because she was at the bus stop waiting to get a bus to the normal toddler group she goes to. One of the other mums walked past her and said, "What are you doing?" "So I'm waiting for the bus. It hasn't come yet. I want to get into Neath to get to my toddler group." She said, "Oh, don't bother with that. Come to ours instead. It's only around the corner." So she did. And she enjoyed and she became part of it. And then she turned up again for the Christmas craft evening as well. So for a change, I'm thanking God for bad transport in Swansea. But it's great to be involved in that work as well. And as I said, if you'd like to have a newsletter, please come and see me at the end. I'd love to pass one on to you. But we're going to come to God's word now. We're going to come gather around Galatians chapter 5. And as we do so, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it never changes. And Heavenly Father, I simply ask right now, that by your Spirit, Lord, you would use these words of Galatians 5 to change us, to mould us and to shape us into the men and women and the church that you are calling us to be. Lord Jesus, I pray, bless our time around your word, I pray, for your glory's sake. Amen. 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 Tonight, I have had a title for this message. Tonight is just one word, and that word is freedom. We're told then, chapter 5, verse 1, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." Over the last few months, we've been told to remember, haven't we? We've been told to remember and commemorate lives of gone before us, who have sacrificed their lives in wars and in conflicts, given their own lives so that we can enjoy freedom. Freedom from the enemy and freedom from dictatorships. But even as you look around in this day and age, you see that freedom is something everyone is grasping for, even if they're not quite sure how to get it. You see it all the time, don't you? People saying to you, "Oh, well, if I get this, then I'll be free. I'll be happy. If I just get this job, it'll free up my time." It's not true. You'll get sucked into it and that'll be it. "Or if I just get a bit more money, then I'll be financially free." You won't in reality. You'll get sucked into that world and you won't be able to get out of it. "But if I just take that, then I'll be free." Sadly, we know it's not the case. As someone once said, freedom is the oxygen of the soul. In fact, it's all our politicians have been talking about in recent years. Freedom from this and freedom from that. Freedom from those bureaucrats. Freedom from that law. Freedom to do what we want. That's all that's been talked about. And as the Senate election comes next year, that's the word that'll be used again. Freedom. But tonight I just want to look at the freedom of the Christian. Because there's nothing else quite like it. You see, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church here and he tells them, "For freedom, Christ has set you free." Here's freedom that lasts. Freedom from guilt, from shame, from sin, from constantly trying to impress. Freedom to be who you're actually made to be in Jesus Christ. That's the power of the gospel. That's the good news for you and for me. The good news is this: there is a God in heaven who cares about you. He cares about you enough that whilst you're still craving to do your own selfish desire, clinging to your old way of life, whilst you literally spat in his face, Jesus came to die on a cross for you, for me. To secure the price for our rebellion. And you see, when he rose from the dead, he delivered freedom. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. It's yours. If you know and love the Lord Jesus. And so tonight, I simply want to unpack that verse for us and use it as we go through this section together of what it truly means to be free Because I truly believe this is Paul's mission statement to the church at Galatia. And I believe it's a statement that can speak to us and to our lives tonight as well. So I simply want to take each phrase in turn. But in order to know good news, you need to know the bad news, don't you? See, if your child has ever done anything wrong, they tell you the bad news first, don't they? The window's cracked. That thing is broken. But the good news is, it's fixable. Here's the bad news then. The bad news is, there's a slavery to sin. We read there at the end of that verse 1, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. You see, Paul has been going through for the last 4-odd chapters battling with the church at Galatia. At the end of chapter 4, he's trying to tell them and give them a picture of Isaac and Ishmael. You see, they thought, the church thought that they were right because they were doing everything by the book. The problem was it made them slaves to sin because they constantly had to keep it up. It's Isaacs who get the promise. It's the Isaac who get to live free. So he tells them, you are not children of the slave. We're not children of the slave, but of the free woman. So what is this yoke of slavery that Paul is calling the church not to go back to? Well, we read in verse 10 that false teaching has come into the church at Galatia, proclaiming fake news, convincing the church that they needed more than Jesus. They needed Jesus plus. In their context, it was circumcision. Yes, you can have Jesus. Yes, he sets you free. But you need this as well if you want to live and love him. In fact, if you do this, it's even better than this. And friends, I was once told that the good news without the good news is no news. And that's bad news. You see, these teachers wanted to win over people, not for Jesus, but for their own fame, for their own desires. And so they were winning people over for them. Live by the law, every comma and every full stop. Paul's argument is this then, in verse 2. Well, if you accept part of the law, then you've got to try and keep the whole thing. And you've got to keep it perfectly. Paul says, I say to you, if you accept circumcision, then Christ is no advantage to you. See, the problem is that if they keep one part of it, they've got to keep the whole thing going. They've got to juggle them all, and they can't. No one can. That was the point. There's no freedom of salvation in it at all. But I don't know about you, sometimes when we read scripture, we can go, oh, how foolish are they? We would never fall for a trap like that, but we fall for the same danger as much as they do. That's why it's really important who we listen to and what we watch. Because it needs to be backed up by what the Word of God says. We need to keep in step with God's Spirit, as we're told in the end of chapter 5. So that we don't take on something that we shouldn't. And it's so easy to do so. Those worries, those burdens, those doing things our own way. You see, when we start adding behavior to salvation or making the minor things in church the major, when we make it the ultimate thing, you see, when it starts to become about us and not about him, when it's based on our performance, on how well we have done this week, and it's not based on his performance and what he has done for us, then we're in trouble. We're in trouble of submitting ourselves again to a yoke of slavery, of going back to the old days where sin enslaved us. Or as Paul puts it in Ephesians to the church, sin so easily entangles us. And doesn't it just? You see, as a beach mission leader, you get to know the stories. There's a wonderful story called The Jungle Doctor, of a man who went into the jungle in Africa and heard story after story and made them all into books for children to read. There's one amazing story about a tribe in Africa who take on a baby leopard. The chieftain tells them, don't take on this baby leopard, because small leopards become big leopards and big leopards kill. Do the tribe trust in the chieftain? Do they do what he says? No, they do not. They take on this baby leopard. It's okay, it's only small. We can look after it. But the chieftain kept telling them, small leopards become big leopards and big leopards kill. And one day as they were nursing this baby leopard became a big leopard. They'd fed it, they looked after it, it was all okay. Until this rather large leopard wiped out a whole tribe in Africa. Why? Because small leopards become big leopards and big leopards kill. And friends, sin is a killer. Small sins become big sins. And big sins can take us out of the race altogether. There's no escape. But as Chris Tomlin puts it to that wonderful hymn of Amazing Grace, the chorus he's added is this: my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Saviour, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Friends, do you know that you're under the yoke of slavery tonight? Do you know that you are burdened with sin? Friends, can I encourage you tonight to leave it behind and let Jesus set you free? Ask him tonight. Pray that prayer and say, Lord, I know I am a sinner. I believe you died on that cross for me, and I want to commit my life to you, not just for this moment, but for the rest of my life. Because friends, I believe when you do, your life will never be the same again. Perhaps you do know and love the Lord Jesus tonight. You know that you've been set free, but you've taken back control of some things. You've submitted again to that yoke of slavery. Then, as Paul reminds us tonight, take it back and hand it back to Jesus and let him set you free. Because that's where we find our freedom. Not in what we've done, how well we've done this week. We find it only in Jesus. Well, the second thing we see from this passage is the cost of that freedom. You see, we see from the first part of that statement that Paul makes, for freedom, Christ has set you free. He'd tell the church in Galatia in verse 5 and 6, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. See, no matter what the conflict is, there is always a cost to battle. There is always a cost to war. And Paul's argument is very clear. You cannot save yourself. You cannot make yourself right with God. As Paul put it, you would be justified by the law. You've fallen away by grace. But God, in his great mercy, provides, what a wonderful phrase, the hope of righteousness. See, whilst we were still rebelling against his rule, separating us from a holy God, Jesus came down. Not as an example of love or a good teacher, he came with a mission to set the captives free. That's the hope of being made right with a holy God. See, our rebellion really deserves the ultimate punishment, a lifetime without him. But now we can be with him in heaven, with the guilt of the past gone, the shame of sin gone. And it's a gift. It's not earned or deserved. It's a gift. And it's called freedom. freedom from Satan, sin, death, and hell. And it cost Jesus everything. As the old hymn puts it, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, living he justifies freely forever. And one day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. That's the hope of the Christian. That one day I will meet him. And I pray that he will declare, come in, good and faithful servant. Friend, can you say that tonight? There is no other way. Paul says this, for there's in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Or as he says famously to the Ephesians, for it's by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's a gift from God. So what will you do with this gift? Will you accept this gift? Where will you put your faith in tonight? Can you join with the hymn writer and say, thank you. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid. Bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. But sadly, some people can't accept this gift. Some people reject this gift altogether. But friend, it's the truth. That's why fake news is so popular with the Galatians. That's why fake news is so popular today. Oh, if you just do this, then you'll be okay. Just say this prayer and everything will be okay. If you give away your money to this pastor or to this evangelist, then it'll be okay. And if you want to, that's fine. I'll talk to you afterwards. But that's not going to save you. But to accept God at his gift, that you've done nothing to earn, it's offensive. Why? Because it means I have to admit I'm a sinner. Paul says, in that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. We need to make this very clear. The gospel is offensive. It always has been, and it always will be. Because it forces ourselves to realize I'm a sinner in need of God's amazing grace. You see, I do like my superhero movie, so please indulge me with this next illustration. In Superman Returns, there is a scene with Superman and Lois Lane where she says, the world doesn't need a Superman anymore. And he says, well, that's funny, because every day I hear people crying out for one. We need to present the gospel very, very clearly. It has nothing to do with you and me. It's all to do with him. Because the minute we take the cross out of the good news, we lose the whole thing altogether. The gospel is the only way to set people free. So let's declare that. Let's shout it from the rooftops. Friends, Gesinder needs to hear it now more than ever. Our neighbours need to hear it. Our schools need to hear it. That cafe needs to hear it. Our shops need to hear it. There is a slavery of sin in the lives of people in Gesinder tonight. But there is the hope of righteousness. And it's centered at the cross. And it's only through Jesus who sets men and women free. Oh, what a love. What a cost. That's where we stand forgiven, at the cross. That's the cost of our freedom. It cost Jesus everything. But because of that, we're told that there's a call to freedom. The phrase Paul uses there is, from that mission statement, stand firm, therefore. Paul goes on in verses 13 and 14, for you who are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul calls the whole church to stand firm, to keep going, to stand up for Jesus. They need to stand up for Jesus. And so do we. In our workplaces, in our schools, in our colleges, we need people of all generations who would take the challenge and who would stand up for him. In the rise of fake news and compromise, people who would stand for the gospel. Those who would not only be hearers of the word, but doers as well. And who would declare Jesus in their time. You see, Paul would tell Titus about God's freedom. He would say, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in the present age. And that's the call of the Christian here tonight. And the call, Paul says, is not an opportunity for us. He quickly interjects this attitude because I know that some people would say, oh, that's great. I'm free. That means I can do what I want. Paul quickly interjects and says, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't use this as an opportunity to go back to the way you used to do things. The way you used to talk, the way you used to act. You see, not that I think this will happen to you tonight, but I want you to imagine that your home is on fire. And in that moment, the fire brigade come and they rescue you from the flames. Now, I want you to imagine that as you're coming out of the flames, as you've been rescued from the flames, what's your attitude as you come out of the flames? Do you say, well, excuse me, but I think I could have handled that myself? No. See, I truly believe that if you were rescued from the flames tonight, as you came dragging out and being rescued by the fire brigade, I believe you truly become evangelical about the fire brigade. I truly believe that for the next few months and even years, every opportunity you had, you would talk about that incident, wouldn't you? Hey, do you know what happened to me last night? You never guess what happened. My house was on fire, and the fire brigade, and they were so quick, they were so marvellous, they rescued me so quickly, and my family as well. They're marvellous. Hey, I won't have a word said against the fire brigade. Aren't they brilliant? They're marvellous. Have you heard they rescued me? To the point that your friends and your family will go, oh, they're off again. It's that story about the fire brigade again. Yet, friends, in the Christian life, we can so easily forget the cost of our freedom. We can forget how sinful we used to be. We can easily forget where we came from. That we leave it all behind and we start doing things our own way because, well, it's okay. I'm not that bad. I'm certainly not as bad as them. I'm not as good as them, but I'm not as bad as they are. No, Paul makes it very clear. Do not use it as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't fall back into old habits, into old attitudes, into old ways, those that you know go against God. But friends, can I encourage you tonight to become evangelical about Jesus? Start telling your friends, hey, you never guess what I heard last night. Oh, have I told you yet? It's brilliant. Have I told you about Jesus? I think I told you last time, but I'm going to tell you again anyway. Start telling people about the love of Jesus and the work of his church. Because the call to freedom is very clear. It isn't just to please ourselves. It's to please our King and our Saviour. You see, the call to freedom is this. It's not to sin, but to serve. See, Paul goes on to say, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. True faith in Jesus leads to a true way of living. Instead of being enslaved to the yoke of me, we get to give our lives to our love of our neighbors, to serve one another. It's wrapped up in this. Love your neighbor as yourself. When true faith is applied in this way, by God's grace, amazing things happen. I know you may have heard of a church in Abasakhan with John Funnell. A church that was on the verge of closing down. Not even a handful of people there. They took this to heart. With a lot of prayer, with God's amazing grace, and loving their community, that church is now full to the brim every Sunday with people coming together of all different backgrounds, of all different walks of life. But they're coming together and they're hearing the gospel and lives are being changed forever. Why? Because they love Jesus. They've prayed that God would help them. And they've gone and loved their community. You see, when we support each other in love, when we encourage each other to keep on going in the faith, when we encourage those who've been on the journey for a long time and they're tired, when we tell them, you inspire me, tell me that story again. That encourages us, doesn't it? Everyone has their part to play in the life of his church. When someone presents us with perhaps a new way of doing things, we don't brush it aside. We take it on board. We say we'll give it a go. It didn't work 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Let's give it a go again for the sake of the gospel. When there's another opportunity to work in a new venture, that we would love our neighbours as ourselves. You see, true faith reveals itself with a great heart for others because of their God's great heart for them. See, when we remember our previous slavery, when we see that others are in need, we have to tell them, freedom is only found at the cross. So that by God's grace, one day we can stand together and sing, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. So friends, let me close by asking you again, are you under that yoke of slavery? Are you under the yoke of slavery of sin tonight? Realize the cost of freedom. And go to the cross. Let Jesus change your life. If you come to him tonight, if you pray that prayer, I promise you, your life will never be the same again. But if you know this freedom, you know that Jesus has transformed your life, then I pray, would you know that freedom in your life? Don't go back to the old way. Live in freedom because there's a call on your life. Will you love and serve your neighbor tonight as yourself? Why? Because of this. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Amen. Amen. I pray that God will bless you and use you individually and has his church as well, to live in this freedom and to show that freedom to others around you.